listening to Traigo Coqueto by Pachimon, who we have here on the line, and I could not be more excited. What an extraordinarily talented producer, instrumentalist, and singer. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Such a pleasure to be here.
How are you going today?
I'm doing good.
Whereabouts are you calling from?
I live in Los Angeles, California these days. Been here for 13 years now. This is where I started the project.
Wow, and how is it there? Everything, your studio? Okay.
Everything is all right. I have friends. We all have friends that lost everything, but everyone is safe and everyone is coming together in a very beautiful way, and the community is really like rallying to, you know, to try to make things better and do what we can with the little that we have, and you know, trying to keep positive with it.
It's a beautiful thing. You are doing a tour, a Down Under tour of Australia and New Zealand later in February, from Auckland to Hamilton to Wellington, but this isn't your first time here either. Is there anything about New Zealand that stuck out to you last time you were here that you might be looking forward to seeing again?
I visited the Auckland Museum last time I was here, or I think like 2 years in a row, and it's always kind of a beautiful stop for me, and I do want to do that again and have, like, you guys have great food out there, and it's such beautiful sights and sounds, and just like the vibe and the energy of the people at the shows is something that I'm really looking forward to. And it's the first time that I'm leaving Auckland, that I'm not going to be just in Auckland. I'm going to go to the South Island and do Port Noise and do all these things, so I'm super excited about it.
Yeah, that'll be great. Did you manage to go to any of the beaches last time you were here?
I did. I went to a couple of beaches. I don't remember the names of it because I rented a car and I just kind of like took like a little trip, like 2 hours south, and just did a big circle and went to waterfalls and beaches. And it was an incredible experience. There was like one beach that I was there alone. It was like this massive, beautiful coastline, and I was just there completely alone, and it felt incredible and surreal at the same time.
Wow, that sounds so nice. How does it compare to Puerto Rico?
Right, it's a different vibe for sure. I feel like the water is a little bit colder. I guess I was in a moment that it was a little bit colder than usual. So the water in Puerto Rico tends to be a little bit warmer, but our beaches are like smaller in comparison. It's kind of like a miniature version of what we see in Auckland. I mean, in New Zealand. So it definitely was a moment of like this rediscovering something new, like these massive coastlines. And it was amazing.
Yeah. New Zealand is very lucky to have, it's just all coastline pretty much.
Yeah, I love it. It's beautiful. And incredible rivers. Oh my God.
Yeah, no, we are very lucky to have rivers. But enough about us. You have a recognizable sound of reggae dub mix that is undeniably woven with a Puerto Rican essence. What were your first experiences with music, and how did you come to find the style?
I played in a bunch of reggae bands when I was young, and I also played bass and in post-rock bands and kind of like experimental instrumental bands. So we were listening to a lot of like krautrock and a lot of can and a lot of like really like repetitive stuff, a lot of noise. But at the same time, we grew up in an island, so it's like very exposed to reggae, and it's kind of like this national kind of music. At the same, kind of before reggaeton became the national music, it was a lot of like reggae stuff. So I definitely got into King Tubby and Scientist and all this like really raw sounding reggae that really resonated with me, and I just kept interested in that, and I just grew up playing in bands, and eventually I moved to Los Angeles from Puerto Rico, and I always found myself wanting to like try to recreate those sounds. And I started like collecting some instruments here and there, some recording equipment, and I just kind of like went obsessive with trying to figure out how to get those old school like kind of King Tubby, Lee Scratch Perry sounds and try to do my own thing with it. And here we are today.
Do you find that there are other artists like you in Los Angeles who have come from places like Puerto Rico and transcending those sounds?
There's definitely a lot of people doing it. I don't know if necessarily in Los Angeles. I'm just like the one that ended up in Los Angeles. I was very inspired by Victor Axelrod, who used to, he also goes by Tikla. He worked on a lot of like Daptone recordings and like with Sharon Jones and Antibalas, but he also was a huge reggae head and he was like making all these records produced by himself and like played by musicians from the New York scene. And he really got into like the nitty and gritty of like finding these old school sounds. And that was definitely like a big inspiration for me to start doing my thing. And then out here, I played in keyboards in a reggae band called The Expanders for a bit. Mm. And they recorded at a studio called Killian, I think it was the name of the studio. Mm-hmm. And they did a really great job of trying to like figure out all these old school sounds. And yeah, those were definitely like some people that have like influenced my path that have being in some sort of way like a tied to Los Angeles or not, you know.
Mm, I almost want to get a list from you of all the artists that you've just mentioned and go through and listen to it all before I see you live next month. What was that?
I can send you a list.
Yes. Oh my gosh, please. What was the transition like from playing instruments and bands to producing your own sound?
I feel like it's kind of like a natural transition if you are the type of person that's like very nerdy about like getting like that right take when you're in the studio with a band. There's always like that one that strays away from the band situation and kind of kicks it with the engineer and like starts to like see what they're doing. So I definitely had that moment of like being in studios with different bands and being like interested in how this magic was created. Mm. So the transition came kind of naturally for me, and it made sense because it was like, if I could just like kind of hone in and try to collect like work and collect all these little pieces of gear that are crucial to record, then I could find like a spot in my house that I could have it all in, then I can technically take a really long time into figuring out how to record. And it happened in a way that was natural for me, you know. I just kind of did it and I got really interested in it.
I do think magic is the right word for it. How is your collection now?
It's minimal, bare bones, but with a lot of character and soul. I have like an old board that a friend of mine refurbished, and it's like the same one that Lee Scratch Perry used to have at Black Ark Studio. So it definitely became like part of the sonic signature of my sound as well. And like, you know, little like a couple of ribbon microphones from like the 50s and 60s that I found for cheap, and little items that I just kind of like, that have created the sound. And I like, instead of buying more, I just try to do more with what I have. That's kind of like the philosophy.
That's really nice. Do you bring these items with you when you go touring?
No, they all stay in the studio. These are precious. They have to stay. Yeah. And they don't, plus I don't like to unplug them. I just like live and plugged in. So everything is just kind of ready to record at any given moment.
Yeah, oh, perfect. What is the live Pachiman experience like?
I have like this little mixer that's kind of a modern mixer, Tascam, and I have some pedals and a microphone and a little synthesizer, and I remix, I do redubs of the songs, like how you would listen to on the record. I basically like record all these songs, and then I just kind of do like, I do like that live dub mixing on the moment. It's just like one live take. And I do a lot of that. Plus I also like sing the songs and I play a little bit of the keyboards and I just kind of like vibe out the audience. It's kind of like a sound system party type
thing. Sounds great. You know, when I listen to your music, it has such a danceability to it, but it's also somewhat nostalgic. Is there a certain essence or emotion you have in mind when making music that you try to capture?
I like to really hone in on being excited, like being on excitement. If something like excites you in the moment, that's kind of like the situation that you have to pursue. I've been like making music for a long time in my life, and I've figured out that like trying to hone in into an idea that you really want to make work doesn't really work for me anymore. I've just kind of takes a lot of time for me, and I'm like, at the end of the day, I'm so hypercritical that it's just like I end up being more critical about it. So I just try to hone in on excitement and what like excites me at the moment and try to just like gravitate into that energy. And lately I've been trying to like really be expressive in like my performance or my chord choosings or like the vocal take or like just like a lot of it's a lot of drumming on my music. I'm like mostly like play drums and then record everything over it. So I try to be like expressive in that moment and just like, but also like hone it in. I don't want to like, I kind of want to create like this repetitive mantra-esque situation for people to just like zone in into like one mood. So that's definitely what I'm trying to achieve.
That's really fascinating. So you find yourself moving away from literal interpretations of feelings or experiences and just gathering it as a whole.
Yeah, definitely.
I am curious to ask about a song from your album Switched On called Teota Nueva. I enjoy how cards are a recurring feature in music because they hold so many memories. Could you tell us the memory with your Teota?
Well, it's more, that song is kind of like more a ode to like, kind of like the feeling of living in a mountain in Puerto Rico for a bit. You see a lot of just cars like going up and down the mountain, a lot of Toyotas for some reason in Puerto Rico, and they're all like blasting music. And you know, you see a lot of youth just kind of just like vibing out, listening to music, kicking it with their friends. So definitely there's like this nostalgia factor, and the song is so like synth heavy, so like kind of vaporwave-ish in a certain way, and sort of like 80s synth, that it definitely like created this like kind of nostalgia moment that I felt like went hand in hand with the feeling of just like driving up a mountain with like your friends and stuff. So if definitely it, that's kind of like the play on that scenario. It's kind of like this made up scenario, but it does kind of relate a lot to my life. And with me and my wife just kind of like living in this particular mountain in Puerto Rico, and we, you know, just kind of like it, this kind of, it just feels like that. It's definitely like very sonic in a way, if that makes sense.
All right. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. We'll keep it in mind as we listen to it, as we go out. We'll see you here in next month, February, at Whammy in Auckland, also in Hamilton and Wellington.
Yes. So happy to be back. Oh my God. It's going to be great. Yes. All my shows in Auckland for now have been incredible. So I can't wait to go back and discover other audiences in New Zealand.
We look forward to seeing you. Thank you so much, Patchy. That is Patchy Man. And this is Teota Nueva.
Thank you for having me.